Go with me, if you would, to Exodus 34. Exodus chapter 34. And let's read verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. That's the verse of Scripture that we have been looking at to see each of these characteristics of our God. Tonight, we're going to look at God's goodness. God's goodness. We're not going to look at it like we have been, though, like we did with mercy and grace and long-suffering. One of the scripture references that I went to when I was turning and looking, one of the references I went to was Psalm 107. And the Lord blessed that psalm to my heart. He just blessed, opened up the word to my heart. So I want to look at His goodness through that psalm. All right, go with me if you would to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. He is good. He's not just one of the things that is good. He is good. He is the source of all good. He's where all goodness comes from. All of it. He is good. We just sang a minute ago, God is great. God is good. And He is. He's so good. Verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." His goodness is what brought mercy to sinners like us forever. That's what brought it to us. That's what sent it to us. Verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And we do, don't we? "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Now this is the order of events that took place in the salvation of all of God's children. It started with God's goodness and love. That's where it started. God's goodness and His love. Romans 5 verse 8 says, "God commended His love toward us while we were yet sinners." Ephesians 2 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins," even at that moment, salvation began with God's goodness and love. That is what led to Him not giving us what we deserve. His goodness and His love. Sinners like us deserve wrath. We deserve punishment. We deserve death. We deserve eternal death. But God's goodness brought mercy. It brought mercy. It led to Him not giving us what we deserve by way of giving to Christ what we deserve. Mercy. When Christ received the gift of our sin, when He took that gift, and you think about that, that was His gift. That was His gift. When He received the gift and took it to the cross of Calvary. Made the payment. That payment was shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. When He made that payment, that's the moment we received the gift of redemption. Completely redeemed. Then, in His good time, through the message of the gospel, through the preaching of the gospel, He calls out and He gathers His redeemed into His sheepfold. They all start coming into His sheepfold, the company of His sheep. Verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." Now that's goodness. He goes out and He brings us in, calls us in. Look with me at Psalm 2. Psalm 2, verse 7. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He said, "I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me," the Father hath said unto me, "Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." The Father said to the Son, "If you ask of me, I'll give you all of my elect sinners and all of their sin. If you desire it, I'll give it to you. And then judgment will be served accordingly." In John 17, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am." I want it. I want it. I'll take them. I'll take their sin. God's goodness brought mercy. Mercy through the death of Christ. And that mercy brought redemption. And redemption brought us back to Him. Redeemed us back. All right, look back at Psalm 107. Verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. They tried this religion, they tried that religion, they tried this church, this preacher, that preacher." Verse 5 says, "Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them." They craved the righteousness of Christ, but they didn't know it. They were hungry, but they didn't know what for. They were missing something, but they didn't know what they were missing. Verse 6 says, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses." You know, Matthew 5, verse 6 says, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." They shall be filled. That's goodness. That's the goodness of the Lord. Verse 7 says, "And He led them forth by the right way." Psalm 23 says, "He leadeth me in paths of righteousness." What is righteousness? What is righteousness? "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness." What is righteousness? Here's the answer: Christ. He leadeth me in paths of Christ. He puts my eyes on Christ. If He did not put our eyes on Christ, and if He did not put our minds on Christ and bring our hearts to Christ and cause us to follow Christ, would we ever do it? If He did not, in goodness, lead us in the path of righteousness, we would never walk the path. Verse 7 says, He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. The city of habitation. Man, we're trying to get there. This, the fellowship of God's people. The congregation of God's people. The fellowship of believers right here in this congregation. This is a foretaste of glory divine. This is a foretaste of what our eternal city of habitation is going to be like. When we gather around the gospel, and when God blesses it, when He sends His Spirit and He blesses it, in those moments when we know He is right here with us, and we're all right here together, it's a foretaste of where we're headed, the beautiful city of God, the habitation of God. Verse 8 says, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. The word goodness means pleasantness. It means agreeableness. It means excellence. It means richness. I love this one. It means better. They all start crying, this is better. This is so much better. It means happy. He fills the soul with happy. You know, the flesh may be miserable, but the soul is happy. It means understanding, kindness, rightness. And we can summarize every bit of that by saying Christ. He fills the soul with Christ. Now, who does He do that for? Verse 10 says, Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Why do they sit in darkness? Why are they bound in affliction and iron? Verse 11 says, Because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. So what did He do for them in His goodness? How exactly did His goodness come to them? Verse 12 says, Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. The same thing He did for Saul of Tarsus. That is the same thing He does for every child of His. Every single child of His. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 1, I am a pattern for every soul that God chose to save. What He did for me, He'll do it for every child of His. What did He do for you, Paul? He brought me down. I fell down. There was none to help but Christ. That's goodness. That's goodness. When sinners become broken, and when they become stripped down, that's the moment to get excited. That's the moment to get excited. When we see God bring sinners in and sit them under the gospel and break their hearts and strip them down, where they have nothing left but Christ. That's the moment to get excited. That's the moment to be hopeful that God's goodness is coming to them. Now, why would that be God's goodness to a sinner? Him breaking them down, stripping them down. It's because verse 13 says, Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Once the truth of sin is revealed to a sinner, not just the sin of mankind, the sin of me, once that's revealed to a sinner, And once the truth of Christ is revealed to a sinner, the truth of substitution, when that comes to a sinner, it sets him free. It sets him or her free. This is his goodness. He said in Isaiah 61, you can just listen to it and I'll read it. Isaiah 61, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes." I'm going to make an exchange. Absolute beauty for absolute ashes. "The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." That's goodness. I came to set prisoners free. I came to bind up the brokenhearted. Turn with me over to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 1 says, "It came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." That's goodness. That's goodness. All that physical goodness represents spiritual goodness. Goodness to the sinful soul. The spiritually blind all of a sudden see Christ. The spiritually lame come running to Christ. The filthy are washed in the blood of Christ. The deaf hear the voice of Christ. The dead are given the life of Christ. And the poor, the spiritually poor, have the unsearchable riches of Christ preached to them. That's the gospel. That's goodness. Go with me back to Psalm 107. Verse 17 says, "Fools." That's who we just read about. That's us. That describes us. That's who he did all this for. "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, all sustenance, all sustainment. And they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses." What made them cry? What made them know to even cry out to him in the first place? It keeps saying that they cry out to him. How did they know to even cry in the first place? Verse 20 says, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." He crossed their path with his word, opened their eyes to his word. David said in Psalm 27, "When you said, Seek ye my face, my heart said, Thy face will I seek." Verse 21, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." The Lord is good, start to finish. Good to his people. Verse 22, "And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing." That is our reasonable service in return. Christ made the great sacrifice for sin. Our reasonable service is the sacrifice of thanksgiving. But not only that, that's all we want to do. That's our heart's desire. That's all a child of God desires in his heart. We gladly offer up the sacrifice of our heart. Thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. Thank you, Lord, for making us whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to us thy great salvation. So rich, so free. That's response to his goodness. We sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and we try to tell everybody we can about all of his wonderful works, and we do it with a joyful heart, a joyful spirit. Do it with rejoicing. This is honestly the happiest message that could ever be told. Happy news. God's goodness in Christ. Verse 23 says, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. These see his sovereignty in all things. And God's people do. His sovereignty in all things. Verse 26, they mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. It's a never-ending cycle. This is going to be a never-ending cycle. All the course of this life, it's going to be trial after trial after trial. Every now and then, God's people get to enjoy a lull between the trials. You get that lull between the trials. In that moment, they thank God for his goodness to them. They thank God. They know, God's people know, that the storm is what brings the realization of the goodness. They're thankful for that too. The storm is difficult, very difficult, but God's people still see his goodness, and they praise God in all of his wonderful works, even in the storm itself. Verse 32 says, let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground. He turns running rivers into an absolute dry wilderness. Sometimes that is the greatest goodness he could bring to a sinner. Sometimes that is drying everything up around him, crumbling everything out from under him, making, as verse 34 says, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. Just drying everything up. Why would that be goodness? Why would that be his goodness? The reason is because he knows the frame of the soul of his child. And I'm so glad. Aren't you so glad he knows our frame? He knows exactly where we are at all times. And he knows when our souls are wildernesses. He knows when this is a parched ground. In that moment, his great goodness to his child is to make the fruitful land barrenness. That's his goodness. That he might, verse 35 says, turn the spiritual wilderness of the soul into standing water, and dry ground into water springs, well springs of living water. He turns everything that's taken their heart away from Christ. He shuts all that down, till they have nowhere else to turn. Verse 36, and there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. That's the seed of the gospel. Verse 37, they sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase, the fruit of the Spirit. He sends them the gospel and the fruit of His Spirit. And God's people want to dig roots wherever that is. They want to be right wherever that is. Verse 38 says, He blesseth them also so that they are multiplied greatly and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. He blesses them. He blesses them, and He does. He will never stop blessing His people. It may not be in the way that they thought it would be, but He will never stop blessing His people, and He provides for them all their need, everything they need. Verse 39, again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. They're going to suffer tribulation throughout their entire course in this world. It's going to be nothing but tribulation. But verse 40 says, He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there's no way, yet setteth He the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. In the end, He's going to carry them up. He's going to carry them out, carry them away from all this mess. And He's going to set them among a family like no other family, the family of God. Verse 42, it says, The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Those who have been made righteous in Christ, they shall see it and rejoice. It is going to come to pass. And all sin is going to be put away. I love how, and I've told you this before, but I love how in Revelation it says the gates are never going to be shut. Never. And sin is never going to enter in. It cannot enter in. I love that. I'm ready to be in a place where sin cannot enter in. No sin without, no sin within. Verse 43 says, Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Whoever is in Christ our wisdom. If we have any wisdom, it's Christ our wisdom. He has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Whoever's in Christ and has His wisdom has been given eyes to see, and ears to hear, and He's going to understand. He's going to see, and He's going to understand. All of God's people are going to come to a first-hand knowledge of the goodness of the Lord. We're going to spend eternity. He's going to carry us out of this place, put away sin, and we're going to spend eternity crying, The Lord is good. The Lord is good. God is great. God is good. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All right, let's all stand together.